Welcome back to the Supporting Women in Social Enterprise podcast, Long Time No See. This is your one-stop shop to give you that leg up in starting, running and sustaining your social venture.
And in understanding the social enterprise world that we work and play in a little better. I'm Fran Barker.
And I'm Nicola Torkington. And we're from Flourish Together CIC. We're an organisation that helps women changemakers like you to flourish. This episode is one of a few we've got coming up all about financial resilience. It's been inspired by a project we've piloted called Flourishing Futures, Finding Financial Security, or FFS for short. Born out of frustration and having supported women changemakers for nearly 10 years now, we know that those who have a level of financial security or housing security get there quickest in achieving their goals for social change. We want all women changemakers we support to have that freedom, fairness and opportunity.
So we're going to kick off the first of our money specials with some myth busting around financial resilience. Coming up, myself and Nicola are going to chew the fat about the big subject of financial resilience, because we've got two very different backgrounds. And one of the biggest myths about financial resilience is it's not a catch-all phrase. It means different things to completely different people.
So let's hear from some different women then, shall we?
Let's dip into a recent panel that we hosted on this very subject. First up, we've got Jenny Matthews. Jenny's a leadership management specialist and founder of Enterprise Bridge CIC, which is a training and coaching company that helps people start well in enterprise. I ask her what financial resilience means to her.
Financial resilience is really important. It's wrapped up with so many other things, isn't it? It's one of the cornerstones on, you know, Maslow's triangle. I'm sure they don't put finance down the bottom. But in my world, money's up there with oxygen. No matter how nice we are and good things that we do for other people, I still can't go in the supermarket and demand a loaf of bread for free. So I need to earn some money. And, you know, ignoring the numbers in our business is a huge thing that we all do quite often, because we want to give so much. I know these women on this call that I know really well that offer so much of their time and their energy, and it doesn't necessarily do them good in the end. So financial resilience, extremely important. Emotional resilience, extremely important. This kind of support for each other, for all of us, very important.
Next, let's hear from Una McDonald. She's the co-founder of It's Her Story, a social enterprise that empowers women in their 40s and beyond to pursue their passion and purpose.
When it comes to entrepreneurship and women in business, sometimes our desire or our need for financial resilience can be a bit of a barrier to creative thinking about setting up your own business, because we tend to be very sort of nurturing, giving, and take our responsibilities in terms of the family setup. So this is a little bit of a danger, a bit of a trap that a lot of women fall into, because they think, right, well, I'm better off with that part-time job or that job that pays okay, because it fits in with everything else in my life. And I think probably what I think we have in common as experts on the panel, what we're trying to get across to people is to have that, to build on that courage, to be able to set something up and to feel confident about doing it. It's very difficult. We innately don't want to shut down. We don't want to shut doors if it brings us a little bit of financial security, but sometimes you just have to take the leap of faith and do it. And hopefully with all of these wonderful experts around in the region and great courses that people can access and workshops and peer support, there is enough there to encourage women to do it. Because from personal experience, and there are many times when people say to me, and close friends say to me, why do you do this? It seems like such a hard work, especially when we talk about funding. But I would say that doing something that you feel very passionate about, that matches your values, that you enjoy, you've got a natural acumen to do, whether it's a creative project or an you're just great at organizing, you can find your niche. And that's, I hope, something that we can really get across with our projects. And I know that's definitely the case with Jenny, who I might add that it was on a program that I was with Jenny, that Jenny was co-delivering, that was the seed in terms of putting me up personally on the right track. So we all, we're all paying forward in terms of what we can offer and support women with.
Finally on the panel, let's hear what financial resilience means to Karen Howarth, founder of Brain Health Breakthrough CIC. Karen leads a variety of peer support groups working with sufferers of long COVID, veterans, and others affected by health inequalities.
I want to talk about three things. One is assets, one is time, and one is self-worth. And what I want you all to understand as women, that you are your greatest asset. Like sometimes we look external for assets, you know, like the car, the house, the money, when really it's about you. And the more you value yourself as an asset, you know, the more you value your own self-worth, that is actually reflected externally by the things that people might recognize as assets. So I'm just wanting to put that into a concept and to get you to think about that. And I don't mind sharing some of my personal journey, you know, with that, that I left a relationship last year where I felt my sense of self or my sense of self-worth, particularly around finances, had been diminished, if you will. And I've had to, you know, come out of that relationship, start again. And I'm lucky that I have got tools of, you know, using mindfulness, using resilience, using neuroscience to, you know, build myself out of that situation. And to me, it really is about, as women, if we value, we are our greatest asset. And with our assets is our time. Like our time is our greatest asset, because it's the time and our focus and our dedication, what Una was saying about putting that into our passion or putting it into what we want to create. And it's about not being kind of distracted and not valuing. When you value your time, you put boundaries around what is important to you, you know, where it is you need to move in that direction, where you're following your own values, you're following your own direction. It's like an internal journey to make what you're trying to create externally, particularly around finance, more, you know, more of ease. You know, it takes time. You know, I'm still building my self-worth, you know, really valuing my time and myself as, you know, as an asset, you know, our skills, our knowledge, our experiences, the things that we have got available to us, our own resources. And, you know, we've all got skills, talents, experiences, you know, something to give. Like, well, let's celebrate that. Let's value that in, you know, in who you are, and start, you know, sharing that as a way to build your own financial resilience.
We also ask a diverse bunch of everyday women from our Flourish Network what financial resilience means to them.
Hi everyone, I'm Claire. So financial resilience to me is independence, it's choices, it's if there's a problem that you're able to deal with it, so it stops those things becoming a source of stress. But ultimately what it boils down to is having the independence to do things yourself. So although my finances over my life have been sometimes up, sometimes down, when it hasn't gone right, it isn't always about not knowing what to do. It's sometimes about not doing it. I used to work with a lady and she had an expression that was, you get what you focus on. If you're not focusing on your finances, if you're ignoring your numbers, sooner or later it's going to come back and get you. So for me, it's about thinking about it and being conscious about financial decisions.
Hello. So financial resilience, what that means to me is having independence. So having the independence to sort of do what it is you want to do in life career-wise, as opposed to what you need to do to survive. But also knowing where to go when money is short. So like being signposted to different services that you may need. And also having the courage to talk to friends and family, because money is still such a taboo subject to talk about, I think. Just having that support system of people that you know that you can go to without feeling judged.
There's such a breadth of answers there, Nicola. It's such a huge subject.
So hopefully listening to all these experiences can help you feel that you're not alone.
Absolutely. For lots of women, their emotional relationship with money is not always a healthy and harmonious one. However, it is never too late to get your relationship back on track. Also, something Karen mentioned about self-worth. This is a huge sticking point, especially for women. So I ask Una if she has any advice for valuing one's self-worth.
Before I set up, it's her story as a community interest company. I'd had many years of being in project management of big construction projects, and it was always, we weren't afraid to talk about money, and we were talking about consultants. And that one of the fascinating things that I've found when running the community interest company and doing workshops was that women very often totally undervalue what they're doing. And unfortunately, we're up against it when, if we're running a company that's perceived as being a non-profit, somehow that translates to a lot of people as being, you're doing it for virtually nothing or nothing. And it really isn't. Everybody has got to eat. And for any of us, it's about proper budgeting, properly understanding and costing whatever project or craft you're delivering. And I would say benchmark, you know, be a bit cheeky, go and find other organizations that might be, or companies that are delivering the same. Do your research, find out what they're charging, and come up with a balance that you're happy with. The important thing to remember is it helps no one in the industry if you undervalue your skills. Because what happens, and I can relate to this totally from construction, when times are hard, and this is cost of living issue that we're dealing with at the moment, some people who may be slightly better able to really undercut will go in and undercut. And effectively, it creates chaos. You have to be fair about what your skill set is and what the costing is. And don't just go in and take hundreds of pounds off the fee or your charges, because, as I say, it does not help anyone in the sector.
Jenny has some great advice too.
There's a couple of things, and I hate these two words, not for profit. We should just wipe that off out of our vocabulary. Let's make a pledge. We're never going to say that again. I hate it. There are better ways of phrasing what we do. You know, I run three companies. One's a kick, so I'm in that not-for-profit sector, and the two other limited companies. You know, I like money. You can do a lot of good with money. It's not a dirty word. We have to, and that's, you know, what Una was saying about, if we just cut our prices, all it is a race to the bottom. Who's going to get there first and go out of business, or mentally become unbalanced or physically become unbalanced? It's just wrong, which is why, you know, putting the enterprise back into social, like Nicola will have heard me bang on about these kind of things before. I don't just support social enterprise. Yeah, I love social enterprise. I'd run one myself. However, it's the enterprise bit that fires me up. How do I make this work? I'm a huge, as I know Una is as well, I'm a huge problem solver. How do I make this work? What's the challenge? Who do I need? What other resources do I need? And that's all that being self-employed is. We solve problems for people, social enterprise, or it's not. And I think that gets forgotten. I know some brilliant women all over Greater Manchester that run social enterprises, and they have been so badly hurt by organisations that they've done work for that haven't even paid them or not paid them on time. Some who've never, ever actually paid them, even though they put their invoices in. It's just wrong, you know.
What do you think about wiping the word not-for-profit out of our vocabulary, Nicola?
She's got a point there. But then letting people know that you're running a not-for-private profit organisation and reinvesting those profits back into purpose can be helpful. So long as people are making that profit and paying themselves properly, that's the key. So we've heard from loads of different women already about what financial resilience means to them. And we'll hear more from the panel in a future financial resilience episode. But shall we share our story, Fran? Because although it might not sound like it, we're coming from different angles, aren't we? In terms of our own experiences and past lives.
A past life, that's an interesting concept for us to talk about in 2023 and when we're discussing financial resilience. Some of you will know who have followed Flourish and engaged with the programme so far. Those of you who don't, I did spend some time recently at Her Majesty or His Majesty's pleasure, and finance is what led me there. Through a variety of poor financial decisions, I ultimately found myself in the Crown Court facing fraud charges. So there is an irony when Nicola says we come from different backgrounds. Absolutely. Different perspectives. I think that's what I bring to the table, but also it's that light at the end of the tunnel where, when we've said earlier in the programme, it's never too late to get back on track with your finances. I couldn't be more of a living, breathing example of that, because ultimately what it's about is if you've made mistakes and you've mishandled your finances and you've gone to probably the lengths that I have and shouldn't have, there's always a way back. It starts with open, honest dialogue and really facing reality. And we can do that with programmes like this.
And I guess from my background, bringing a different perspective to financial resilience, I've had to use the phrase push through the burn a lot. I don't talk about it much, and it's a kind of by the by now. I think I've pushed through that burn and got out the other side. It's a bit like giving birth. You kind of forget about the pain years later. But I've had my fair share of financial challenges, mainly through the end of my marriage when my son was four. So, you know, living as a single mum and having to manage a mortgage. I know we work with lots of people and some people have their own homes, some people don't, but I personally find that sometimes having your own home, as much as I'm very grateful and very pleased that I do, it creates levels of burden and levels of financial fear that some people will never experience. And so I think having to be creative, having to be fearless and having to just knuckle down is some of the things that, you know, I've had to do to not have to move back in with my parents or not have to sell and there but for the grace of God type stuff go any of us when it comes to having financial wobbles and financial struggles. And because we've worked with so many different women who've pushed through in so many different ways, it gives us a really valuable set of people and information and examples of how not to give up.
So I first came into contact with Flourish as a network in a past life, and it was engaging in a piece of work that they were working on in terms of recommissioning women's services across Greater Manchester. Now, the irony being, I didn't get to see that come to fruition because I was indeed serving time in prison. And upon release from prison, I thought my opportunities to return to viable employment and regain that financial stability and rebuild that financial resilience were a no-go. But it's people like Nicola and Flourish that have helped me do that, welcoming me into the Flourish fold and allowing me to be part of the team and really grow this program. Because ultimately, it is about that lived experience and it is about bringing different aspects, opinions, and, you know, well, life experience massively to the table. So, you know, it's an opportunity for me to just give it a little plug and a thank you that I'm here and I'm co-facilitating and I'm part of the podcast.
Well, you're running the show, really, to be fair. It's great to have you doing that.
Absolutely. Nicola, I'm interested to know, why do you think financial resilience affects women so predominantly, if it does?
I think partly it's down to the way we're brought up, and it's down to the levels of confidence that people do and don't instill in us as, you know, in children, in schools. And as we said earlier, how our relationship with finances forms, because even somebody with lots of confidence around money, you know, I started working at a very early age. I had money in my hands working in a hairdresser's from the age of about 9. And so I've always had money. I've always been around money. Earning has always been important, but learning how to manage that money and then how not to mess up is really key.
Mm.
And we can all mess up with money.
Hey, listen, you know who you're talking to. Absolutely. I've been there, lived that, done that. You know, I'm the opposite end of the spectrum, really. I've been around money my entire life, and my learned behavior is very much out of quantity as opposed to quality, and not having the respect for money or understanding the value of it, and therefore a variety of poor decisions on the back of it. But I suppose it leads us back to that financial resilience and how we overcome that and how we unpick that and relearn healthier habits.
Absolutely. And that's why every angle and every case is different. I think although I'd earned money from a young age, you know, I racked up a store card at the age of about 16 or 17, had to get bailed out, you know, but that taught me some key lessons. And thank God I had those challenges early on. I've never been there since. The big tester for me was, you know, when my marriage broke down and I was left to pay for everything. You know, I had very little financial support, you know, from my ex-husband. And fortunately, I'd always probably been the breadwinner along the way. So it wasn't hugely, it wasn't completely out of my comfort zone, but I think it's a feeling of unfairness and being completely alone in having to find and manage your money is a very daunting task at any age and when you're thrown into it at any situation, but it is definitely possible. And yeah, as a, you know, single mum now for what, over 10 years, Not very little scares me around managing money currently, even through juggling COVID and cost of living and everything else. But you can only say that if you've built your financial resilience. You know, years ago, I couldn't afford to get to work. I had to ring in sick with a certain employer because I couldn't physically buy the train tickets. You know, your employers give you your expenses when you've spent them, not in advance. So.
Mm.
There's certain things that employers could be doing and other people could be doing to make sure that women or their staff, when they're in certain predicaments, don't come unstuck and don't feel, you know, ashamed at how they have to juggle things to make ends meet or to physically leave the home. You know, it's those sorts of barriers that women in particular can sometimes face. And we know there are women across our networks juggling all sorts every day. And so by running a program like Flourishing Futures and some of the financial support that we've been able to offer women changemakers through our mentorathons and also through the program that we're running, we just hope that that plays a small part in kickstarting or re-engaging people, resetting where people are at. And you just need some hope, even if it seems small. A little bit of light at the end of the tunnel makes all the difference.
Absolutely. But when we're talking about financial resilience, support networks are absolutely key. Do you think they're one of the essential attributes to securing, achieving? Are those the right words when we think about financial resilience?
I guess so. But I think it's about independent support networks. We don't always have these conversations with our friends.
Mm.
That's the beauty of some of the styles of conversation that we create at Flourish. You wouldn't have them with your mum. You wouldn't have them with your sister necessarily.
Mm.
You wouldn't have them always with even with your best friends, because sometimes people just, what's the word? They hide what they're going through, or they need to talk to the comfort of strangers. Not that we're strangers, particularly in Flourish, but there's an element of them, of that comfort of strangers philosophy where they don't know your backstory, they don't know the baggage, or they don't have a view on X, Y, and Z necessarily. So, and the beauty of the network that we've got and the people we've got is everybody's got such a wealth of their own lived experience that sometimes your own friends don't have.
And the commonality, I think that's one of the things that we've overlooked generally as women, you know, bolstering our own emotional resilience, our financial resilience. We're so busy, and you've used that word a few times, juggling. Of course we are, you know, work, life, family, friends, money, of course. We're so busy doing all of those things that it's sometimes nice to just take a pause and engage with these things. That degree of separation shows us that we can talk about these things open and honest in a safe space. We can get the support that we need, but also we can talk about it without shame amongst people who are going through the same thing. We just don't have to shout it from the rooftops.
Absolutely. And I think we can raise people's expectations of themselves and their hopes for the future. Hopefully we can sort of shine a light on opportunities or help people see that, well, if so they've done that, maybe I can do that, or know that the doors they thought were closed to them aren't as closed as they thought they were. Yeah, let's see where everybody gets in the next few years in spite of our complex living circumstances and the kind of economic challenges that we face as a, you know, as a nation at the minute.
Mm, no, absolutely. And, you know, it's things like this that we need to come together and take on those challenges and troubleshoot it, because, you know, at ground level, that's exactly what we're doing, firefighting. But also, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, as you say.
A big thanks to everyone who's contributed in this episode.
We'd love to hear what financial resilience means to you. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. Simply search Flourish Together CIC and directly tweet or Facebook us with your definition of financial resilience. Over the coming months, we'll be releasing a few more episodes about financial resilience, including Pushing Through the Burn, so do keep an ear out for them. We do often talk about the programmes that we run. Some women might not be able to access Flourish in person, or indeed our programmes, but that's why this podcast exists.
This episode and the whole series is a Mike Media production.
See you next time.
Bye.